Today is April 12, 2017, and this is episode number 406 of the Apple Context Machine, a podcast for the Mac Observer. I'm Jeff Gamet, managing editor at TMO.
And I'm Brian Chaffin, charter member of the Future Alamo Explorers of America. To get the full story on anything we say here on this podcast, except for that, you can go to MacObserver.com/ACM. That's MacObserver.com/ACM. And if you'd like to comment on or question anything about the show, shoot us a note at ACM@MacObserver.com.
I want to point out that there's no basement at the Alamo.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh,
have you not seen Pee-wee's Big Adventure?
I have. I forgot about that. And believe it or not, I've never been to the Alamo. Despite having lived in Texas, despite having once lived in Texas for most of my life.
Wow. I've been to the Alamo. I remember Pee-wee's Big Adventure. Pee-wee, there's no basement at the Alamo.
Don't remember that particular line. It's a good one, though, Jeff.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
So anyhow, now you know. Whenever you have the opportunity to go visit the Alamo, don't go looking for the basement. It's not there.
You know, I'm a charter member of the Future Alamo's Explorers of America.
Yeah. Hey, I have a project for you if you do get to the Alamo.
Look for a basement?
After you look for the basement, you'll probably be hungry. The last time I was there, across the street from the Alamo, there was a it's like a burrito. It's like, I want to call it a burrito shack. It's a little restaurant place you walk up to, order at the window.
And Taqueria, brother.
Yeah. So anyhow, if that place is still there, you have to go eat there because holy crap, good food.
Oh, all right. Yeah. Done and done.
All right. Yeah.
And I will let you know.
Please do. Please report back.
Yep. I'll do that. And speaking of reporting back, did you hear about this fella? I got to get his name. You know, we don't research anything. We don't prepare anything for this show.
No, and it's not like we didn't have any warning that we would need this.
No, we never know when the show's going to come up.
No, I know I'm typically caught... I was going to say with my pants down, but that would assume I'm actually wearing any.
Yeah, exactly. That's like all the days. Dejian Zhang. That's probably not how you pronounce his name.
I think we should assume he's part French.
Dejian Zhang, perhaps. Anyway, he's a I believe he's a Chinese American. Who is a grad student at New York University. Maybe he's actually a Chinese national, but he's a grad student at New York University one way or another. And he went undercover at a Pegatron factory, a Pegatron iPhone factory. And, as a summer project in his grad studies, because, apparently that's what you do. You get summer projects. I don't know. And he wanted to see what it was like to work in one of these factories. And he'd spent 6 weeks there. He lived in the dormitory, worked, you know, the 12-hour shifts and reported back on what it was like to both work on the line and then also to live and work in that environment.
Okay. So what happened?
Well, first of all, I'd like to encourage everybody. Business Insider did a terrific interview with him. It's a good read, and I want to encourage everybody to actually just go and read the whole thing, especially if you're interested in the ongoing topic of manufacturing in the United States, Apple's outsourcing of manufacturing, Apple's supply chain, the accusations of poor labor conditions in the factories where Apple products are made. Workers' rights. Yep. If you're interested in any of those topics, you should just go and read this full article. It's a long one, but it's worth your time. And of course, it's just one man's viewpoint from having been there, and a man who was working in the factories when he didn't need to work in the factory. He wasn't working in that factory because he needed the money. He was working in it for school. But he stuck it out. He did the full 6 weeks that he was planning to do, and I find that impressive. I think he made $581 over the 6 weeks.
Wow. Okay. To be fair, that's probably pretty good money for where he was.
It's well above the minimum wage.
Okay.
And he was paid and housing. No, he got $450 and housing.
Okay.
Right. So, you know, his housing was paid for. But one of the things they do, by the way, is they charge that there are cafeterias, but they charge you for them. They charge you for meals there. I mean, so, you know, like the way a lot of the Chinese mega factories work is a lot like the factory towns worked at in the late 19th century, very early part of the 20th century in the United States.
I was wondering if you were going to go there, not like in a bad way. Curious.
You know that Tennessee, is it Tennessee Ernie Ford? A load 16 tons, and what do you get? You get another day older and deeper in debt. I tell St. Peter what I can't go because I owe my soul to the company store. I should have started that a little bit higher. But
I know, that was awesome. Well done. Well done.
Thank you. That is about living in a factory town. That song and that I owe my soul to the company store is about companies that would require their workers to live in the company town. And, you know, you had to buy everything from the company store.
Right. There's even a time when they could get away with paying you in company scrip.
Yes. Yes. And it was essentially a way of making sure you could never leave. Because you would be charged so much for working, I'm sorry, for the things that you had to buy from the company store that you essentially could never get out of debt. And that's what that song's about. And you know, the reality is that the factories that are making not only iPhones but most of the electronics and a lot of other products, your hand drills, your hair dryers, your brushes. I'm looking at all the things that are on my desk. I'm kidding. I don't have a hair dryer or a brush on my desk. But
I'm actually kind of disappointed.
Yeah, the things that are made in China, a lot of them are being made in these mega factories that are very similar to the factory towns that our forefathers and foremothers here in the United States fought and died to put an end to. Some of them fought and died.
Now,
like, there were people killed in labor disputes 120 years ago.
Yeah, actually, labor disputes like that shaped part of the Colorado State Constitution. We cannot have a state militia. So, you know, in a lot of states, there's state police. Our Constitution prohibits that. So we have Colorado State Patrol, but their job is to deal with traffic-related stuff. So they're not full police. They're a lower-level police officer than the cops in cities and sheriff's departments. And the reason being is because there was a company mining town in Ludlow, and there was a labor strike. And so at the time, there was a state militia, and they set up Gatling guns on a ridge above the town and just opened fire. And what they did was they mowed down women and children. Yeah. And so because of that, our Constitution was crafted in a way to prohibit having a state militia so that we would never, ever run the risk of the possibility of something like that happening again.
Wowza.
Yeah.
And we're mentioning all this. Wait, I got a couple more things.
Okay.
40 hour work weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Labor disputes.
Mm-hmm.
That was earned by people fighting and dying. Weekends off. Of course, not everybody has weekends off. Labor disputes. Overtime pay. Labor disputes. Five-day work week, labor disputes, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, right? Mm-hmm. There were a lot of things that we take for granted about working in 2017 that only became normal because people fought and died for it.
Right.
Because capital in general doesn't want workers to have any rights, or for that matter, workers to get paid. You know, capital, by and large, would prefer slave labor or indentured servitude. I mean, this is just a reality of making a profit.
Yes. If you want an amazing snapshot of what life was like for people in the United States under that sort of system, go read Steinbeck's Cannery Row.
Right. Yes. And a lot of these things that we do take for granted are actually under tremendous pressure right now. Overtime pay in particular has been under tremendous assault by conservatives in the United States for the last 10, 15 years. That's probably the biggest thing. And here is the biggest point. Here's why we're talking about this right now on the Apple Context Machine.
And in one instance, singing about it.
And yes, it's because these jobs that people, these manufacturing jobs that people talk about coming back to the United States are not going to come back to the United States. People are not going to live in factory towns and you know, where they go. And so, you know, what happens in China is that a lot of times people will go work for 2 or 3 months or even 6 months inside these colossal factories where they're living and working. Mm-hmm. And they work, they save up money, and then they send some of that money and take some of that money back home when they stop working. And so they'll go back and forth and do this for a period of time.
So this is different from the company towns that that were a big thing in the United States, in that you don't actually become an indentured servant of the company. You're really making some money that you can take and use outside of the company.
Right. I mean, there are some similarities. There are company stores, there's company cafeterias. And Mr. Xing talks about that a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
In his interview, he talks about he said the food is adequate and keeps you full, but it's not very tasty. You're paying a little bit more for it than you might possibly expect, but it keeps you full and keeps you going. And the thing, and this is one of the things that Steve Jobs was talking about when he was still with us.
Mm-hmm.
Is he was saying that the kinds of workforces that Apple can marshal through Pegatron, through Foxconn, through any of the other large companies that they're working with, the kinds of workforces that they can organize on a dime are not available here in the United States. And no one's going to go and work for 12-hour shifts living in a company town. That's just not going to happen in the United States today. And it's one of the reasons why it's not going to happen is because of the labor disputes that we had a century ago. Mm-hmm. And that's why we're mentioning this, not just because both Jeff and I are left of center. Can I say that, Jeff? Are you left of center?
Yeah, you can say that.
Conservatives would probably call us left wing, but we're left of center. And this is a reality. And if you want to, Mr. Xing's account is not all bad. For instance, people are getting paid more than the prevailing minimum wage. He was not being forced to work 80 hours a week. that was a thing. Actually, Apple's really cracked down on that. Apple does its best to keep that sort of thing from happening. Mm-hmm. But, you know, he talked about like being on a, he apparently was there during a transition for a new product. And he said that when you're on these assembly lines, your job is to do one thing. Like, if, for instance, he apparently started by putting a screw in the back of an iPhone case, I think. And that's all he did. One screw.
Wow.
And okay. He said that like the first few days he had to really concentrate to be able to go at speed. Uh-huh. And it was really like he would be super tired at the end of the day because it took so much mental concentration to do this one thing. But then you learn how to do it, mm-hmm. and your muscle memory takes over and you become bored. And he said that when they were doing a product ramp up for a new product, they might put in a screw and then it might have to wait 2 hours for the next phone to come down the line because, you know, something is being done. Something's being changed.
Uh-huh.
And he'd be incredibly bored. You just sit there. You're not allowed to have any electronics. You're not allowed to listen to music. He said sometimes they would be yelled at if they would talk too loud. And you know, that sort of thing, I don't think a lot of Americans are going to be willing to do that. You know, so John Key, the last week's Pop.0 video podcast that I do with John Keat, mm-hmm. He was arguing that no one wants these jobs. And I would argue that people are clamoring for these jobs. And his argument is that no one wants these jobs. They just want the money. And my counter is that that's just ass backwards, and that people are willing to do the jobs they want, and therefore they want the jobs because they want the money because they can't get the money to enter the jobs. But I don't think anyone wants those jobs. They don't want to work under those conditions here in the United States. And to that effect, John is absolutely right.
My assumption is that a lot of the people that are working in these factories are working in better living conditions than they experienced before they went to work.
Some of them, sure. Especially some of the people that are coming from farming communities, small,
right.
Very, you know, villages, farming villages.
Right.
But you know, it's hard work and it's exacting and it's sometimes boring and it's repetitive but it pays more than the prevailing wage, which is definitely good. And I don't know, you know, it's so one way or another, it's an interesting account. Another way or another, these jobs are not coming back to the United States, at least not for humans to do.
And
so all the talk about bringing manufacturing jobs back. I think one could even argue, Jeff, that iPhone would not have been possible without Chinese manufacturing.
I will agree with that. Yeah.
And I'm not talking about from a cost standpoint. I'm talking about from a getting them made standpoint.
Yeah. From a logistical standpoint. I cannot imagine that you would be able to find enough people in the United States willing to do what it takes to assemble iPhones on the scale that Apple needs.
Yeah, and part of that is simply actually just from a population density standpoint. There are so many people making these phones, and you don't. I mean, like, they need more of them in the ramp up to launch than they mm-hmm. do in the spring, for instance.
Right.
Because Apple sells fewer phones during the spring, right? And you're talking about enormous quantities of people who are only maybe working for a few weeks at a time. And again, in the United States, it's not going to work. We don't have the density for it. We don't have the willingness for people to do jobs like that, to be marshaled on a as needed basis. Like, I remember, so this the Mr. Xing didn't talk about this, but I remember someone talking about how your shifts might actually swing in the middle of the night. I mean, like okay, hey everybody, we need you to come work now because, you know, because something has happened.
And then everyone wakes up, gets out of bed, and goes to work.
Yeah. Yeah. That's not going to happen here. So these kinds of jobs are not coming back. If manufacturing comes back to the United States, it's going to be in the form of robots doing the work, doing the vast majority of the work.
That seems pretty reasonable, which means that the human jobs that would be created because of the production coming to the United States would be maintenance and support for the robots.
Right. A tiny fraction of the number of humans that are currently involved in manufacturing these things.
Sure. Yeah, that makes sense.
Tiny fraction. Now, and they might actually be fairly well-paying jobs, but there just won't be a lot of them. I mean, you know, could well be like we're talking like more mechanical engineering, mm-hmm. and electrical engineering jobs to make these assembly lines work. But it's not going to be people doing the work in the United States to make iPhones. That's just not going to happen.
Yeah, I agree. Those jobs, iPhone manufacturing jobs, weren't here, and they're not going to come here. Mm-hmm. No. But
nope.
The conditions that the people are working under in these factories, it sounds like overall they're not bad.
Here's my problem, Jeff. When you say that, what goes through my head is that sure is heck easy for you and me to say.
Well, yeah,
you and I wouldn't do you and I wouldn't do those jobs. We're not going to do those jobs for that kind of money. I mean, you know, we're lucky. You and I have found ourselves a career where we get to use our minds and our fingers and sometimes our voice boxes and mouths. Parts, mm-hmm. our mouth parts.
It's starting to sound creepy, but okay.
Excellent. I kind of have a problem with you and me sitting here saying, this doesn't sound so bad, because you and I wouldn't do it.
No. And right.
But it's not all bad. And from a standpoint of from the standpoint of folks need jobs, the working conditions are not as hellish as some people have tried to make it out to be.
Yeah. So it would be more accurate for me to say, based on what conditions had been in factories before in that area, these are far better working conditions.
Yeah, Apple has done a terrific job of working with Foxconn, working for Pegatron. Remember, in the meanwhile, he was only in a Pegatron factory. He wasn't in a Foxconn factory. Mm-hmm. But Apple has done a good job of working with both companies, according to every account that I've been able to get my hands on, of improving conditions, making sure that there aren't any underage workers, educating workers on their rights, removing harmful chemicals. Removing pollutants, making sure that people have the proper equipment to be able to do their job safely. The Apple's done a really good job with this stuff, and really should get a ton of credit. It annoys me as a fan of most Apple products. It annoys me that people attack Apple and without attacking any of Apple's competitors, but especially when Apple's doing a better job than all of its competitors at improving worker conditions and making these factories a better place for people to work at.
You know, I'm all up for. Wait, let me start that sentence again. I am all for corporations taking a proactive role in ensuring that the people producing products for them are working under the best possible conditions working under the best possible conditions.
Yeah. So anyway, good read. I have a link to my short write-up, which was and a link to the original Business Insider piece, because like I said, if you're interested in these topics, you should go read what Mr. Jing has to say for yourself. It's long, but it's really interesting, and I just I can't recommend it enough.
All right, I think that's awesome.
Sweet. What's our next topic?
How about if we talk a little bit about something that's kind of increased for me recently?
Okay.
Which is, I'm getting more emails recently from people saying, oh my God, you need to do this thing. I saw this report and here's this awful thing, or something that when I see the email, my first thought is, this doesn't sound right. And I go and do a little research and find that they're forwarding an email that's been sensationalized and isn't actually accurate. And
what?
I know.
What?
Total shock.
Come on.
Total now, shock.
Right. So, I mean, we're talking about the precursor to quote unquote fake news.
Yes.
Because these sorts of things have been passed around by just people who just don't know what they're talking about for years, you know, with you know, since the advent of email.
Yeah. And so the site that I tend to go to most often when I get one of these emails, like the one that I just got, it's one I hadn't seen in a long time. And it's about the gas fumes at gas stations igniting because people use their cell phones. And
yeah,
and in this
case, explosions, big explosions.
Yeah, like Hollywood explosions. And no, that actually doesn't happen. And I remember watching the Mythbusters episode where they tried to use a cell phone to make an explosion in a gas station. And ultimately what they did was they set off a bomb because Mythbusters. And so the short take is, no, you can't use a cell phone to get a gas pump to
wait. Let's reword that. What the Mythbusters found is that using a cell phone while pumping gas is not going to make the gas explode.
Okay, there we go. Yes.
Because most people aren't trying to make an explosion with their cell phone. You said whatever, mostly pedantic. But Mythbusters was unable to reproduce that myth, and they also couldn't find any documented evidence of it ever actually happening.
Right.
And someone sent to you forward. Oh my God, don't use your cell phone at a gas pump.
Right. And of course the person that sent it to me, they were sending it with the best of intentions because they were genuinely concerned that family and friends were going to blow up at a gas station because they're busy talking on their phone while pumping gas. And you know, and I appreciate the sentiment. Please don't do something that would cause you to be forcibly blown into pieces and taken from our lives. And so that part's really sweet. But the fact that we have reports like this floating around and people see them and just take them as fact without ever bothering to do any sort of research to see if there's any truth to it. And honestly, a research like that takes a minute because you go Snopes.com, you type in what it is that the email is addressing, and odds are the very text that you just read in an email is going to be presented to you in a Snopes article.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. It's a good resource, and okay. I may be a little biased here, but I think that most of our readers are not the folks who are, you know, sending forward.
That's true. But some of our readers may or listeners may need to know that there's resources out there to help them educate those people in their lives that that are passing on these things. There's another one I got a little while ago. I didn't even bother responding to it because without even looking at it, I knew it was fake. And it was a report that some elementary school in the country forced all the kids to cross-dress to teach them about equal rights for the LGBTQ community. Now, while I wholly support equal rights for everyone, including the LGBTQ community.
Yeah, we are left of center. Go ahead.
There's no school in the United States that's going to force children to cross dress for any reason. So
yeah.
Anyhow, some of these are like crazy ridiculous.
Right. Snopes, good article. Got me a good resource to use in the modern age of the interwebs, and you know a lot of these things have been already tested and debunked and there you have it.
There you have it. So anyhow, Snopes.com. Are there any other sources that you go to verify whether or not a story is fake?
I use PolitiFact a lot, but that's for politics. That's a little bit that's different than some of the tech urban myths and things like that. But I use PolitiFact a lot, Washington Post's fact checking I think is also really good on the political side. Your mileage may vary. No, actually, your mileage should not vary on that. Facts are facts, but whatevs.
Yeah, your mileage may vary on how comfortable you feel about the facts that you discover, but hey, that's life.
Yep. And then we have this thing that Rick sent us, right?
Yes, Rick. Thank you so much for the emails you send us, and really totally appreciate it. And what he sent us this time is a link to another Mac Pro concept. And I'm kind of liking this because we've been in this phase for a while where people just really don't seem to have any interest or excitement in figuring out what Apple might have in store for their Pro Mac line. But now that we've had the meeting with Apple executives and five different tech media people, it's like the people that know how to actually create concept designs are interested again. And now we're seeing these concepts for what the Mac Pro might be. And so Rick sent us a link for another one. And what I'm liking is that people are taking this modular idea and kind of running with it. So anyhow.
Yeah. I'm not sure. I'm not going to put a whole lot of, I'm not going to put a whole lot of stock in this particular, we'll have a link to it.
Yeah. I'm not putting a whole lot of stock in any of them because these are just ideas that Apple fans are coming up with.
Right. Well, okay. Yeah. I've actually seen a couple that I like though. In particular, I like the idea of a device that like, A smallish device that has built-in video cards, built-in, no slots, maybe some RAM slots, but no PCI slots, a slot or two for an SSD, maybe a couple slots for an SSD now that I say that, but then would actually work with a breakout box, but not a breakout box because it's an integrated breakout box, but it could be purchased separately.
So it would has be your PCI a module slots. That plugs into your computer and gives you those PCI slots.
but stacks, so you don't have cords everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And connects, and I've that is a concept, a fan concept that I really, really like. This one is really interesting, but it seems pretty impractical. And
I agree. Silly.
It's got this little, you know, drawer that
it's folds like a pivot out. Point.
Yeah, pivot point, and I'm not buying that.
Yeah, I mean, it's a fun idea, and I'm glad to see that people are coming up with ideas for a new Mac Pro.
Yeah, and the actual rendering is amazing.
Oh yeah,
the artist who did this did an amazing job of putting it together, and it. One thing about it, it actually uses the cheese grater look and feel, even though it's more of a Mac Mini on its side form factor.
Yeah,
but it's got the brushed aluminum brushed aluminum with the, you know, with the air holes on the top, and it really kind of seems like a cross between a Mac Mini on its side with additional features using an enclosure from the cheese grater Mac Pro. That's not going to happen. There's no way that Apple's next Mac Pro is going to have any kind of finish that at all resembles the cheese grater.
I agree. Yep.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. But it's still interesting. He did a great job, this person. Actually, I don't even know who. Do you know who did it?
No, but that's because...
It's in German.
And yeah, it's in German.
I didn't bother getting any kind of translation before we started recording.
Because why would we bother with that?
Why would we do that? Why would we do that? I could do that right now. Translate.google.com.
While you do that, I have to say, I find your idea for what you would like to see as the new Mac Pro kind of interesting, where you don't have any PCI slots unless you buy the add-on module that plugs in, no wires.
And then most people don't need them. Most pros don't need them. But the pros who do need them seriously need them. Yeah. And I think Jeff, that the trash can Mac Pro that we have today,
mm-hmm,
stemmed from the same place that the Cube stemmed from, that Steve Jobs' G4 Cube,
mm-hmm,
stemmed from. And that's that most, even pro users, never use their PCI slots. You know, Apple knows how many people used their PCI slots in the cheese grater Mac Pros.
Yeah, that's true. They right? know
anybody who's sitting stuff. In system reports.
Yep. So,
and but the people who do need those things really need them. And I think that Apple likes the idea of selling a quiet, fanless Pro device that has the features that most pros need.
Mm-hmm.
But they also need to accommodate those pros who need more. Because those pros are, first of all, some of Apple's own developers, as well as the rest of the developer community. But they're also people, they're tastemakers and people who work for tastemakers, mm-hmm, in the video editing department, in the music production department, in the TV and movie industries, right? Apple needs to accommodate those people because they are important, you know, like halo effect users. They're trendsetters, they're tastemakers, and Apple needs to make sure that their needs are met too. But I don't think that Apple wants to sell a Pro device for them to everyone.
Yeah, I can see that.
And that's why I grabbed a hold of that definition of modular.
I do like that definition of modular, and yet I would still like to see Apple include one or two open PCI slots in the new Mac Pro. I think from a public perception standpoint, that would be a really good thing for them to do.
But not why? Who needs it? Some people need it.
Some people need it. Yeah. And yeah, some people need it. Some people don't.
A Mac Mini, something that's like maybe twice the size of a Mac Mini, that's got your video cards, it's got your It's got your storage. It's got your Ethernet, because we do still need Ethernet. It's got your USB ports that stacks on top of a sold separately breakout box with additional PCI slots, and everything needs to run on at bus speeds and not just through Thunderbolt. And that is probably not going to happen, but whatever. Yeah. That to me makes so much more sense than including even one or two PCI slots in the main body.
You know, I on one hand, I agree with you because you're right. Most people aren't actually using the slots. So why add the expense of having the slots in there? But
expense and size.
Yep. And then you can have that case that it just clicks onto. And now you have a bigger computer that has PCI slots, probably a fan also, because at that point you might need it.
You might need it. Yep.
And then you can get exactly the Mac Pro that you want. And that's a really elegant and sexy idea. And at the same time, Apple has taken so much flack for the lack of any sort of expandability in the current Mac Pro.
But my attachable breakout box solves that.
I'm aware of that. But how many people are going to flip out because the standard model won't have any expandability, and now if you want expandability, you have to buy this extra thing, and it totally makes sense. It's actually a really elegant idea, but I'm wondering if Apple would go that route simply because they've had so much backlash from the current Mac Pro design, and instead will design something where there's at least one extra slot inside the box.
Nope, not gonna happen. If Apple has this breakout box, this attachable breakout box, connectable breakout box, there will be no PCI slots in the main machine.
I think you're right. If they do a separate breakout box, there will be no slots inside the Mac Pro. Now the video cards, because I'm assuming it'll still run dual video cards. Those will be user replaceable in the new model. That's my
those prediction. Need to be. Yeah, those need to be user replaceable. Like I agree with that. So there may be slots for the video cards may be plugged into slots instead of soldered onto the motherboard. That needs to happen for a Pro device.
I agree completely. Yep. And that box will also have gobs of slots for RAM. And
will it?
Well, I'm going to think positive here, but I know we're talking about Apple.
Gobs of slots.
Apple has always been really stingy about RAM.
Yeah, it's true.
It's really weird. I don't know what their thing is. I mean, who has the RAM phobia at Apple?
I don't know. I know that I've got 24 gigs of RAM and routinely run into swaps in and out.
Yeah, I have 16 gigs of RAM. And unless I'm running Safari, I tend to be okay with that.
I all the time I got problems, but I do run Safari. I mean, I probably have 30 tabs open right now in Safari.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah. So
I have Chrome running too.
And okay, so I would love to see more RAM slots, but you're probably right. There won't be that many. You better be able to have more than 32 gigs of RAM in this machine.
Yes, 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 yes. But it's, I don't know. Well, your original point was looking at this particular mock-up, mm-hmm. this particular render. And it's really interesting. It's very, very well done. I don't think it has an Ice Cube's chance in hell of resembling a shipping product at Apple.
I agree. But it's a fun user idea. And like I said, I love seeing what people are doing with their mock-ups. And especially
when they're done doing well.
Mock-ups.
Yes.
Yeah, that tells me people have some
excited
hope.
Again.
Yeah.
Yeah, people are excited again. And that's the thing. That's why Apple announced this device in the way they did. Because they didn't announce the device. They said something's coming. It's going to come, and it won't even come this year. It's going to come at some point. And yeah, we've been complaining about how Apple would actually get to that point. But the reality is that Apple is at that point. And Apple, by announcing it in this way, they've given those of us who are interested in this product line, they've given us hope. And they've given us something to shoot for and think about and want and covet. And that is a better place for Apple to be in than where Apple was if Apple doesn't have anything to ship.
Yes. Yep.
Does that make sense? I know I said it was kind of convoluted.
No, it totally makes sense. We were at a place where people had essentially given up on the Mac Pro. And then Apple had the little meeting. And now people are excited about what the new Mac Pro could be.
Right. Nothing changed about when this device will ship, but even knowing that it will ship versus not knowing that it exists is a huge difference from keeping people invested mentally in the platform.
Right. And now look at the free publicity Apple gets, because there are people out there coming up with renderings for what they think a new Mac Pro could be. And that just keeps driving the interest in whatever it is that Apple ultimately releases.
It's true. It's true. Yeah, we like thinking about what Apple will do.
Yeah,
and that's why I hope that we're seeing a return to regular updates in the Mac product line, because the Mac community likes thinking about what Apple is going to do with the next Mac.
They do.
And if Apple can return to a yearly upgrade cycle for its Mac products, it will feed that interest that we have, which ultimately just drives up interest in the Mac as a whole.
Yep. And it's about keeping that mind share.
It's about keeping the mind share. It's about right. All right. Speaking of mind share, mm-hmm. we got a couple of reviews. People responded to our call last week to leave a review on iTunes for the Apple Context Machine, and we appreciate that. We got one guy who said that what was the one guy? We got one person liked us and one person didn't like us.
Right, but he didn't like us in the most polite way.
Yeah, it was a very positive way. It doesn't matter, too. We want, if you hate us, go leave a review, because your hatred for us is going to help inform other people who may or may not be interested in the show.
I thought you were going to say you feed off people's hatred.
No, that's John Keat.
Right.
Right. John Keat feeds off people's hatred. I do not. But negative reviews help a podcast just as much as positive reviews. So you know, whatever you think about us.
Positive reviews, please.
Yeah, I just want people to be honest. Yeah. I just want people to be honest. If you have a thought about listening to us, you know, we pour our hearts into the show.
You may not be able to tell based on our preparation, but we really do pour our hearts into the show.
We pour our hearts into it. We don't actually pour our prep time.
Right.
There's a difference. But, you know, and hopefully that resonates with you. If you made it this far in the show, it probably does. So go and leave a review. We absolutely appreciate it. And to the two people who chimed in after our call last week, thank you. And if you're thinking about leaving a review, go do it, please.
Yes, please.
Apple Context Machine.
That's who we are.
That's who we are. That's who we are. And we appreciate all of our listeners. You know, we've got good folks who have shown us a lot of support. And no podcast, a podcast is it's less than nothing without listeners. So thank you to everyone.
Yeah, without listeners, it's kind of sad and creepy.
Oh, it's funny because it's true. Yeah. All right, man. I think we have a show. Thank you to everybody for checking in with us, and we'll see you next week.
And that's this week's Apple Context Machine. If you have anything to comment on, add a question, write us at acm@macobserver.com. And thanks for listening.
Accounted is written by the good people at TMO. Our bandwidth is provided by Cashfly. The bass is by Boom, and recorded just for TMO. And that's all for this week.
And hey, everyone, stay subscribed.
We'll see you online at the Mac at the Mac Observer.